Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
On today's episode, we'll be talking about my former career as an author, why Shabba is our new favourite word.
And what we get up to if we're stuck on a desert island. Shabba. Shabba.
What, you mean our favourite child? It's like me.
And they wear them silly little cleats in coffee shops.
What's that?
Oh, don't get me started on this.
Oh, I think I'll go for this one because this is for photographers and content creators.
And become the spokesperson for UFOs.
And welcome to The Therapy Crouch with me, Abby Clancy.
And me, Peter Crouch.
I just want to, you know, for any of our Eagle Eye fans out there who might be noticing a bit of difference in the set, we have took charge, I've took the plunge, and I had to move out of our house because Ross, after you dragging them suitcases through my hallway with all our gear in, you know, over my new floor, you know, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
So we've moved out of Casa Crouch.
Casa the Crouch.
And we're now in our new studio space. And thanks to Rowan Holmes, who have kitted us out with, you know, a very luxurious set, I'd say.
Looks exactly the same. Like it's...
They've got the brief, haven't they?
Very good.
Rowan, you know, if Rowan is the place to go if you want a bit of luxury. And I think they've, you know, delivered the brief perfectly.
Yeah, this is very comfortable as well. It's actually bizarrely more comfortable than our couch at home.
I know, but I think it looks great and it's kind of, you know, I feel like, you know, I've got a real job now. I'm going out to work. We're in the office space. It's our set. You know, we can get, you know, it's quite hard, especially now it's half term trying to record a podcast. You know, we can't keep four children, two cats and two dogs quiet while recording. So, you know, this is the perfect transition. And yeah, big shout out to Rowan who have helped us create the dream set.
Yeah, agreed. Looks great. Happy with it. Valentine's, I delivered.
You delivered.
You're happy this year?
I'm very happy. You know, Ross, the poems are back.
Oh, God. Did you bring them with you?
No, unfortunately.
Don't worry, I'm sure Abby memorised them.
I got my white roses, my red roses, a little piece of sponge cake in a heart.
In a heart?
Cut out himself.
That was the night before. That was just
What have you done?
Monday.
That was the preamble.
I'm just starting to get a bit suspicious. Why are you being so nice to me?
No, that's like, you said to me, I take note of what you say on this podcast. And, you know, I took note that, you know, you wanted the poems back. You wanted a little bit more romance. Mm. So all I'm doing is providing
that. Ghetto romance.
Ghetto romance.
Pete, that came on in the car. And Pete said that was the best album of all time. Damage.
Of all time. I said it was, Rumours was a fantastic album.
I heard a rumour that you're feeling me.
And Get a Romance, Rumours. You know, I mean, there was a few bangers
Ready
on
like
there
a race
for
car.
Me. Can you share a drink with some?
What a tune.
Belter.
Do you know what I think? Do you know what I think we need to do? So going back to the night we had in the Devonshire, in the pub.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're allowed to pick your own songs and put them on. After a few drinks, I cannot remember one song other than Shallow.
I need Don't we fucking know it.
I need to make myself, in my notes, like a playlist of songs that I can put on.
So you can sing them?
No, not so I can sing them, just so I can get the party started.
Oh, okay. Okay, I've got something to bring up today.
Well, I just want to ask Ross if he had any stalkers first, because seeing as though he announced to the nation where he was going on Valentine's Day, and he is the most incognito sex object on the planet.
stalkers no more than usual, I wouldn't say. I didn't notice any more than I would normally down the pub. So
really
fine for me, no complaints.
I thought that was brave. But then people don't actually know what he looks like. So they know he's in there. He's the international man of mystery. They know he's in there, but they don't actually know.
So I'd be listening out for the dulcet Scouse tones.
I'd be listening out for the Scouse accent and the laugh.
Yeah.
Because there's a few people who have slid in to my DMs declaring their love for Ross's laugh.
Yeah.
And that's your DMs. Imagine what mine look like.
You are?
Imagine what mine look like.
You're not even on the gram, are you?
I know. I'm not.
You need to get on it.
I know.
You need to get with it.
I know. Down with the kids.
You need to like, link, and subscribe.
Talking of being with it.
Oh, God.
When we came in here today, we said, there's obviously a lot of young people in here working. And you said, have you got a spare SCART lead? And the whole room said, what? And one of them, Harry, I have to say, had to Google what a SCART lead was. I thought they were still in play. I'm with you.
Sorry.
He's kind of set you up there because I'll be honest, that was a two-way street.
Can you imagine me knowing what a SCART lead is? Because I've got no idea what a fucking SCART lead is. But since Chris, we're now mid-Feb.
I ask all these technology buffs.
Peter got the kids, Santa got the kids a PlayStation.
What was it, PlayStation 1? SCART lead?
The worst thing is he was calling it a petrol station. He said, Dad, can you set up the petrol station, right? And then I was going, no, I need the SCART lead, son. So none of us had it right.
But I've been listening to this since Christmas, this SCART lead. So when I come in, I thought, there's wires everywhere. You must have a spare SCART lead knocking about. What is it that we need then to set up this bloody PlayStation?
HDMI cable.
Right, so am I
I've
right?
I've got a box labelled. You've seen it, Ross?
Yeah,
in the cupboard in the kitchen. I have got a whole box labelled wires and leads.
Mm-hmm. Can I just clarify? It's a SCART lead out of fashion now.
Yeah,
is there there's no such thing as a SCART lead?
I don't even think they'd plug into a modern telly.
Seriously?
I don't think so. I wouldn't know. I think it's like something you'd put in the back of like an Atari or a
What's
PlayStation.
An Atari?
Yeah, like the old school games and stuff. Yeah, that's news to me. Mm. I didn't know.
I remember that word growing up though, SCART lead. Oh, Sean always used to say it.
Yeah. I think it's HDMI cable now.
Yeah.
Every day is a school day.
I'm glad you cleared that up. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not going to be able to... Listen, I need a HDMI lead now to fix the petrol station.
Good job we've got Lee, our builder, coming around next week. It's just like, Lee, can you come and change a bulb?
Poor Lee's the builder.
Lee, can you plug our... Because obviously I've got all my furniture back now.
Yeah.
It's back.
With a vengeance.
With a vengeance, and I've moved stuff around and something's not quite right. So... Andrew Martin has to come round on Thursday and just...
To save the day.
To save the day.
I bet he loves them texts. Fucking
I'm like, Martin, I need you. My house looks weird.
So I've got to get something off my chest.
Is this a wine?
No, Ab's become the spokesperson for UFOs. So this all UFO people are getting in touch with Ab and saying, yep, it's okay.
I know, you're not crazy.
You're with us, sister.
Yeah.
She's now... You're now the UFO spokesperson.
Do you know what? I'm happy with that. But the thing is, I don't understand why I was on the front of every single newspaper.
Best.
How I'm left shaken and terrified because of my encounter with a UFO.
Mm.
If you listen back to our podcast, I said, quote, I'm not saying it was a UFO that I saw per se. However, it was very unusual. These three lights in a formation that all, you know, flew off in a different direction at the end. You know, it's not nice waking up in the morning on the front of the paper that I'm shaken up by UFOs. It's hilarious. Pete thinks
could
it's
be
so
worse.
Funny. But it could be worse. Could be worse. Has been worse. Could be a lot worse. However, it just makes me laugh.
Well, listen, you know, you said something that, you know, but people have resonated with it. And there's obviously a lot of UFOers out there. Do you know what I mean? There's people that believe in it. And, you know, they're called UAPs, aren't they now?
Yeah. Unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's be calling an OAP.
Anyway, you've brought light to the subject of aliens and UFOs.
This could be a whole new career move for you, Abby. You could...
Seems like a lot of people...
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the alien...
Not alien love.
Huh?
There's a lot of love for you being a... You know, because... They need someone like no, you with a profile.
I'm going to get adopted.
Adopted?
Abducted.
You need a Scotland for that, don't you?
No, now I'm scared that I'm going to, fucking aliens are going to come to me and get me.
Why? Because you're talking about them.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't want to be found and you're the one promoting their reality.
Come and zap me and I'll be lying in a field next to a dead cow.
The thing is, it's not a field. It's always a cornfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be
a crop circle.
It'd have to be a crop field. Because aliens only go into crop fields.
Funny that when it, people who have like tractors who can make circles in vast pieces of land.
That's the only place they hang around. Even E.T. was in a crop field, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was in bloody thingy's back garden.
Yeah, but
Elliot's back garden.
Don't you remember he went into the crop field?
That's where he found them,
wasn't it? Ran in.
Yeah.
It's like the aliens only go near crop fields for some reason.
Maybe that's what they eat.
They can only get photographed by grainy cameras as well. Now, that in this day and age, we've got HD phones. We still can't get a clear picture.
4K.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
6K. Okay, so have you got any weekly wines for me?
I've got a couple, to be honest.
So have I. Go on, hit me then.
Have you really? What was the other day? Obviously, I went down to McLaren, which was amazing, I have to say. It's in Woking. We met Lando Norris, obviously on the Better podcast I do.
I was calling him Lorenzo Torres.
Lorenzo Torres. Wow. It's a great name.
My dad was like, never heard of him. He must be a new driver.
Lorenzo Torres. You got so...
What's his name?
You got cross. Lando Norris.
Lando Norris. Yeah, Fernando Torres.
Obviously, Kate, we had a great day. Mm-hmm. But I got the opportunity to drive a McLaren car at McLaren Technology Centre, it's called, which was incredible. Saw Ayrton Senna's car that he actually won the World Championship in, Lewis Hamilton's car. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It was a great experience. But obviously, when I was driving... Ab knew I was driving.
It was a rainy day.
Right, on a rainy day. She knew I was in a McLaren, Lando Norris. There's a bit of speed going on. And then she's called me and gone, have you sorted the life insurance? I
was like, wanted to know where I stood. If anything happened.
She called me. Have you sorted
right,
the
enjoy.
Right, yeah. That's, it's all covered.
Put the pedal to the metal, Peter.
Make sure you beat everyone. Yeah. No, make sure you win.
I was joking, but then I suddenly thought, oh, fucking hell.
It's not that wet, Pete. Get yourself out there, son. Enjoy.
I haven't got a need for speed at all.
No.
No. I'm just not a fast driver.
No. Say that again.
No.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly that. Mm. Well, I've normally got a whole load of precious cargo, haven't I? My kids.
That's true.
And I also like to drive slowly so I can look in shop windows.
I've never seen anything like her driving. The driving experience with Ab's mad. Because yeah. Like, I'm watching the road in the passenger seat, but she's not. And she's driving. So she'll be like looking in shops and like just, you know, just brake and go, oh my God, amazing. And like there's a queue of people behind beeping. She's just oblivious.
I just beep them back. Fuck off.
Oh, fuck off. What? Green light piss off.
Do you remember that guy was beeping me? Loads and I went mental at him.
Wasn't it something on the roof?
And he was like, oh, I was just telling you your hazards are on. I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Road rage.
Yeah, a little bit of road rage.
You too, like, what the fuck do you want?
Yeah, literally.
Fuck off. Fucking hell.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Talking,
I'm so sorry.
Chill?
Fuck off.
I went proper scouse on him. So today we missed the train.
Yeah.
Because Pete was trying to set up a new iPad, which took from 7 a.m. till 8:45.
So you gathered that we're not really very technical.
Just leave it to Lewis.
Setting up a new iPad. I tried. I'm trying. He's trying.
So Pete was trying to set up the iPad and we needed more storage. And obviously when you go online, you can see, you know, it's $5.99 a month for 2
megabytes.
Yeah. Like 2 terabytes, right? And it said good for families.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the next one was
8 terabytes.
And Pete was like, oh, I think I'll go for this one because this is for photographers and content creators.
Being serious.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things I think has ever come out of my mouth.
Spat my tea out.
Can you hear me out, right? Please hear me out.
Content creators, he's still got 3 photos on his phone.
I don't want to be this person. So please hear me out. And you have to not interrupt because I don't want to be tarnished with this brush. I don't think that I'm a photographer or a content creator, but the first one was 2 terabytes, right? And it said, I don't even know what a fucking terabyte is. But the first one said, good for families. And I said, great, we'll take that one. So, but it was so much storage that we didn't, it wasn't enough. So I said, we're going to need to go for this one. This one says photographers and content creators. And I've seen Ab's face prick up and go, pardon? And I went, I wish I hadn't said it, but I had. And I don't for one second think I'm a content creator, right? I'm not a fucking dickhead.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even if I was, right? Imagine if someone said to me, what do you do now after football? I went, just a content creator.
That's what you should fill in on your occupation.
I'd expect a punch in the face. Like
you put on your occupation form?
That's my problem. All of it's twatty.
Author. Best-selling author.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
Podcast
then.
Extraordinaire.
We just met someone. We just met someone in the bloody tube who said, oh, hi, my sister did the cover to your book. And then, you know, I was talking about it to our John. He went, oh, I saw Kara did that. And Pete said, oh, I have got multiple books.
I did not bookwanker. Say that.
Yeah, what did you say then?
I'm not a book wanker.
What did you say?
No, I said that, you know, there was a couple of books I've done.
Which one?
Don't get book jealousy.
Oh, I haven't got book jealousy. I haven't got book jealousy.
Oh, class.
I think we should bring your original biography back.
We should bring, what was your novel called? Let's bring that one back.
Stop it.
A Night with, what was it called?
What's this?
Oh, nothing.
Ab's got a novel out.
No way. Shut up. I've never heard of this.
Oh, God. Shut up.
What? You, hold on. You had a go at me. Call me a book wanker. Fucking book wanker-ess.
It's like 10 years old. I brought a novel out.
No, you didn't. Are you fucking serious? Have you never told me this?
What was it called? Google it. I can't even remember the name.
I think it was called Wish Upon a Star. Because I read it.
No, it wasn't. Can someone Google it?
It's called something Wishing on a Star.
Oh, God.
It was about this girl who wanted to be a pop. It's basically me.
Basically, yeah.
It was, can you just find out what it's called? It's called Remember My Name.
Do you know what, we should do?
It's called Remember My Name.
Should you read the chapter each week?
Yeah. Mate, 100%. 100%. Right, so...
Oh, we've all done things, you know, you were lying in a bloody bathtub of rose petals the other day, so you can't
don't
talk.
Don't deflect.
Petal wanker.
Don't deflect. Just because you're a book wanker as well, and I've exposed you for being a book wanker. I'm going to get this book, right, and we're gonna read a chapter every session.
Oh, yeah.
It was called Remember My Name, and it was a fictional novel. Mm-hmm. Slightly. It was about a girl who wanted to be a pop star and, you know, she fell in love with the bad boy.
Bad boy of football. Semi-autobiographical.
Yeah.
It was basically my life story. Yeah.
Bad boy. Don't think I've ever been described as that, but I'll take it. Vin Diesel.
Yeah. I described you as a bad boy this morning when you were ordering 18 terabytes on it online.
Yeah, that's just how I roll now. Like, 2 terabytes? Fuck it. Give me 8, because I'm content creating.
Bloody hell.
Right, so my trusty assistant has just passed me a laptop.
Thanks, Harry.
Remember
it's
My Name.
It's not Rose Before Hose, you know, on this pod.
Remember My Name by Abby Clancy. Since owning the stage in our high school musical, Jessica Malone has dreamed of being a star. Now 22 and singing Disney songs at children's parties, it's the closest she's come, which can have surprising benefits when she meets the gorgeous Jack Duncan. Not only is Jack very easy on the eye, he's head
hung
of,
like a donkey.
He's head of talent for Star Maker Records and impressed by Jess's beautiful voice. Wasting no time, Jack persuades Jess to join him in London. Once at Star Maker, however, Jess is making more tea than music.
Sold it to me.
Always a waitress, never a guest at celebrity parties. Until the night that Jack's biggest star can't go on stage. Before she knows what's happening, Jess has ditched her tray of canapés for a microphone and gives the best performance of Shallow she has ever given.
It is slightly autobiographical.
Just give me Star Is Born vibes.
You know, it's come from the heart. You know, I wrote this. I wrote it. It's my story.
It is your story. And
write what you know. Write what you know.
It's great. It's great. Oh, superb, babe. You know what? And I, as much as I'm giving up grief here, I read it from front to back and enjoyed every moment of it.
Front to back. I'll read you from front to back.
You are a front.
Has it?
Yeah, like it did well. It was good. It was a good book. I enjoyed it.
Well,
you should definitely start reading that out in the pod. Just the odd chapter there and there, just for a little laugh.
Oh God.
Superb.
Yeah.
Absolutely unreal.
Is it?
Love it.
Can you just
Ross is gone. Ross is gone. We've lost him.
$3.57 on Amazon.
Have you ordered one?
Why it's coming is it, in hot. Why is it £3.57 on Amazon?
I've got a good idea, why.
I thought it was great. Yeah. You know,
I might get my eye wiped. It might be great.
Everything is a part of your journey. It was right at the time. It felt good. It's, you know, it's escapism. Didn't do bloody 50 Shades of Grey any harm or bloody Bridget Jones.
Exactly right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's escapism. What's her name? Who wrote Bridget Jones?
Are they worth reading out?
Here's a couple of reviews. Oh, terrible book. Gave up after about 15%.
You are joking.
Really enjoyed this book. I don't read a lot, but read that on holiday and really enjoyed it.
Is the first one same?
For the casual reader. Good.
Did the first one really say terrible book?
Terrible book. Finished after 15%.
What do you mean 15%?
Yeah,
how would they know what
one?
Percent they read?
Really enjoyed this book, hoping for another romance mixed with a desire. A fantastic, hard to put down book. Thoroughly recommend it.
Peter, sorry.
My weekly wine comes in perfectly. We missed the train, so we had to drive to another train station. Then Pete goes, oh my God. I'm like, whoa, what's happened? He's like, my golf clubs are in the boot of the car. So he's petrified that the car's going to get stolen with his golf clubs in the car, and said he'd rather lose his life than lose these golf clubs. So then he was contemplating carrying the golf clubs with him on the train and on the tube. And bearing in mind, these are custom-made, extra-length going on golf clubs. Mm. I could not believe the palaver out of you this morning.
What
is... Do you know how pathetic you are? I was...
You wanted them to get stolen, didn't you? What's the matter with you? It means a lot to me. Like, what if, you know, all the shit stuff you like got, you know, I wouldn't want it to get stolen.
You know, I had an accident once when I was young in my Mini, and I had this Burberry leather Mac in the car, and my car got taken away to the pound, and when I got it back, my leather Mac was gone. Mm. Oh my God. Never been so upset.
We got a car stolen once, right? Always remember this. I went to pick up from the pound, Charlton frigging pound, and I had to go miles there, got there, and the cheeky bastard who stole the car had taken his missus out for dinner. And then, and then just left it. So he's obviously nicked it. His missus' coat's hanging up in the back, like a big fur coat. And all his tunes were all like lined up, and there's a receipt for like dinner. So he's gone, I'll have that. Nicked it. Took a girl out, and then just
wear that coat today. Yeah.
And then just left it.
Oh, at least got a bath.
We were like, whose is this coat? Like,
mad.
Then there was receipts. Like, just.
Mm.
That's
cheeky bastard.
Mad, cheeky. Yeah. More front than Blackpool.
Got so stolen, yeah, Ross, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That old chestnut.
Nightmare. Went to the pound, picked it up the next day.
It's actually a really good decoy of an affair.
Tell me about it.
Oh my God.
You're going to look into that now.
Bet you did.
Don't look at me like that. Wouldn't have said it on the pod.
I had the funniest time when I was pregnant, and I went out with my friend Lib.
Mm.
We went for lunch, boozy lunch for everyone else, not me, because obviously I was pregnant. And I'd parked my car in a road, and there was 10 of the same car as mine in the road. And my car had gone, and I was stone cold sober. And I was like, Lib, that's not my car. So she made me like beep every car. and we got papped doing it as well. Like paparazzi took pictures of us and it was like, dude, where's my car? I've been living like that. I was like trying to hold her up because she was so pissed. I was pregnant. My car got towed away and was in the compound. Do you remember that? It's funny.
Baby brain.
Baby brain, yeah.
That's so unreal. I've been getting a lot of love for my Welsh national anthem singing the other day, Ross. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I
saw. My dialect was correct. I had so many Welsh people. Big up to my my Welsh fans. To my crew. Gwynard.
I do like Wales.
I sang it. Apparently, I sang it quite well, they said. The dialect was correct.
Do you want to do another little rendition?
Do you know Miss Dyson got in touch?
I did see that, yeah.
My old teacher, Miss Dyson, got in touch. Apparently, it was her that taught us it for Mr. Evans' leaving do.
So she taken the credit for it?
No, it was a joint decision. Pretty sure Mr. Evans, but everyone's, all the Welsh people that listen to this podcast are loving Mr. Evans for like making us all English learn it. Because there's a lot of Welsh people out there, I didn't realise, that actually don't know it.
But do you know the British national anthem?
Yeah, of course.
I used to sing
it. Yeah.
I used to sing it quite regularly, in fact.
Yeah, well, I was playing for England. You did it every game.
I think that's a funny thing about that. You know, when you go abroad, so we go into like a city break or something and we get in a cab and we're like, what's that building there? What's that? And like all the cab drivers and the locals know all the history about their particular city. But if I went to London and someone asked me, I'd be like, I've got a fucking clue.
Do you know so true? When you do go from the airport,
you
in
just
a cab,
expect them to be historians.
They tell you exactly.
Oh my
like,
God, do you remember that black cab we got in the other day? We got into this black, he was unbelievable. I'll set the scene. We got into this black cab, torrential rain again. Kids were kicking off big time. We were on our way to see Wicked. Jack was cried for 2 hours and we got into this cab and he said he was changing his kind of profession into like a black cab tour guide.
Mm-hmm. I wish I knew his name.
He had an app, but we lost it.
Oh.
And so you get into the cab, you put the headphones on, you drive around and he give you a tour. But he was talking about, what park was it? And one of the kings had an affair.
Green Park? Maybe?
It was Green Park where they...
So one of the wives had... He had an affair. And gave his love interest flowers. So his wife said, I don't want any flowers in the park. That's why it's called Green Park.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but so many, like, and I was trying
snippets
to...
Snippets of history, yeah.
I was trying to listen to all the info through screaming kids and fighting, and I was just like, I just wanted to boot the kids out of the cab.
I think one of them as well. One of them as well, which is quite interesting. I think this is true. Don't quote me on it because it might not be the right king. But I think it was Henry VIII. And the reason why there's parks in London is because so he could ride his horses.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't. I remember that bit. It was.
It was definitely that.
He liked to hunt the deers.
Yeah, I know he was a big
horses. So he used to hunt on horses.
So that's why there's deers in all the parks because they...
Deers in all the parks? If there's no deers in Hyde Park or Green Park?
Only Richmond Park.
No, I'm talking about... Hampton Court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying... So you're telling me that those deers have been bred from Henry VIII so he was hunting them?
Yeah.
No, he rode horses in the parks. That's what it was. And he'd hunted in them as well.
He wanted a place to hunt. Or I don't know if the word's hunt, but he wanted a place to... Look at deer.
Anyway, it was really...
You're trying to make me out to be...
No, because you having a go at me telling me that I was completely wrong.
Because he didn't want to just ride the
horse. Why don't we put it to our listeners?
You know, when you're completely wrong, I just ignore the fact that I know you're wrong and let you crack on. Audience wines. Hey, Abby and Pete, absolutely love the pod. I listen in work and I always worry people are watching me whilst I'm in stitches laughing at you both. My weekly wine is the fact that my partner thinks it's acceptable. Oh, fucking hell. Wow. My partner thinks it's acceptable to stick his finger up my bum at every opportunity while shouting Shabba from the film Dirty Grandpa.
Not a bare bum.
No, I think it's a jokey one. Thank God. Any opportunity he gets, I could be picking up the kids' toys, putting washing away, walking Shabba. Up the stairs. The list goes on. It's got to the point now where I'm constantly walking around with a clenched arse. The worst part is the kids have even started doing it. We were in Asda the other day and I bent over picked up some bread from the bottom shelf. My three-year-old stuck his finger up my bum and screamed, Shama, in public. Safe to say, people weren't too impressed. Chloe from Swansea, amazing. Your fella's an absolute genius.
I hate a bum slap. I think it's one of those things girls moan about, but when it stops, it's a bit like, why don't you slap my bum anymore?
You hate the bum slap?
No, there's a time and place.
I would. I think a finger up the bum slap, Shabba, I think that could get annoying.
But I do that to you.
You do do that to me, actually.
You never complain.
I know, yeah. I always do that.
You do that, yeah.
Like, obviously, fully clothed.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, God, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
I'd slap your ass every time I walk past you, I think, don't I? Do you think?
Yeah, but that's degrading.
Is it degrading?
Mm-mm.
I think that's all part and parcel of being in a relationship. If I can't do that, I might as well go and fucking play golf somewhere and, you know, not be married. It's a huge part of being married, I think.
Bum slapping?
Yeah. I do think. Am I on my own here?
No, I agree. Yeah. I just wouldn't say it out loud.
I think it's an affectionate pet, isn't it? I think if I saw your ass and it...
Can we stop saying ass?
What bum, what do you want me to call it?
Bunda.
Ring piece?
Booty. Booty.
Oh, I've got the giggles now. Same. I've got the giggles now. I think it's a big part. It's just little touches, isn't it? If I walk past you and I want to touch you, if I walk past
you... You know, it is being tactile.
Wow.
Is a thing. Because, like, if we have an argument and we get into bed and we're, like, one side and the other side, it's not nice. Like, not even, like, just touching each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's an important part.
It can mentally upset you, that.
Yeah. Well, where do you stand on...
Lack of touch.
Where do you stand
and
on...
And it doesn't Shabba.
That'd be
so annoying.
But you know what? It's quite funny. I think we'll incorporate. We'll do at least one.
No,
today.
She should go, Mr. Loverman.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Shabba.
Yeah. Oh, I think
he's a genius. I want an email from him.
Yeah. I can just relate that to when I'm getting ready, get out the shower, get into my little area to put my makeup on, and Pete comes over and, like, hugs me and stuff. I'm like, go away. This is my zone. You are not allowed in it. Okay. Hi, Pete and Abby. This is more of a subconscious thank you than a whine. Last week, I was watching my 13-year-old son play football, like most of the British population on a Sunday morning. I realise this is football related, but bear with me, Abby, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate. This particular Sunday morning, my son's team had been given a referee who must have been no older than 15 himself. It also turned out he was getting assessed by someone from the FA. Now, throughout the entire duration of the game, the opposition's coach was moaning about every decision made by this poor young lad. He was the type of bloke that was probably shit at football himself, and he lives this wannabe football career through his child. We all know the type. He was probably wearing shin pads underneath his tracksuit.
He's a listener.
At the end of the game, I was walking to the car with my son, and I happened to pass this div as he was giving his opinion of the referee's performance to the assessor. Now, usually, I'm the type of guy who goes to watch, stands away from the other opinionated parents, and lets the kids play and the coaches coach. However, on this occasion, I couldn't help myself. He was spouting all his verbal diarrhea to the assessor, and I found myself sticking up for this young lad and simply saying, "You want to grow up, mate?" His reply to this was to shout abuse at me as his head nearly span off his shoulders, to which I simply replied again, "Grow up." You could see him getting more and more annoyed. So for good measure, as I drove away, I gave him the third grow up. So thank you for the gift of grow up. I'm sure I ruined his Sunday lunch, which is the least he deserved after his treatment of this poor young ref. Love the pod on my dog walks.
Perfect use of grow up.
Yeah.
And it infuriates you. You can't come back from it.
There's no comeback.
There's absolutely no comeback.
Good on him for standing up for what's right. Something that I'm always in trouble for. Standing up for...
Do you know what though? This is, not to go so technical into football, but at the moment, right, there's a serious lack of referees, like, who on a Saturday and Sunday, because they're getting abused by, like, parents and people on the sidelines. Imagine if you're, say, a 16, 17-year-old kid and you want to be a referee, right? And you go on a park on a Sunday and you're getting absolutely abused.
Yeah, but, it's not a job I'd want.
It's like, there are referees of the future, do you know what I mean? And, like, listen, you know, referees... they were my favourite people when I played, but we need them. You know, those people that abuse the referee on a
they should
weekend,
get penalised.
I mean, that's, you know, he's right there to say, grow up to him, because he needs to.
I'd tell him to piss off,
and,
never mind grow up.
No, listen, there's a shortage of refs, and we need to respect the ref.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, hi both. My weekly whine is a bit of an old but gold one, but I wanted to bring a bit of a well-deserved negative attention to the pain in my arse that is cyclists in and around London.
Oh, you like this one, Pete?
Correct. I'm with you on this one.
I think that's a sign of getting old when you start going, oh, look at that bird. What a lovely bird that is in the tree. And then moaning about cyclists.
Do you think?
What did we say today?
That's my favourite pastime.
We said something today and I thought, God, we're getting old. I think it was when you said, let's go to the cinema at night. And I was like, oh, God, can't do that.
Oh, God, no.
You know, we'll be asleep by half nine.
God, no. All right, well, listen, not only do they act like they own the roads, cutting lanes and jumping on pavements whenever they see fit, all the while avoiding playing any bloody road tax, but it's their general arrogance, air of superiority that really gets me. They think they're cool and trendy, doing their bit for the planet, when in reality, they are just twats in Lycra. And don't get me started on the ones that cycle on the pavement, the amount of times I've nearly been knocked over by one of these electric, silent, assassin electric bikes. It's beyond me. Ban them now. Well, I do have an issue with cyclists, and it's not, I don't mind, like, I know they all want to get fit, and, you know, it's a good way to,
you know, it's good fuel for emissions. The environment.
There's lots of positives to it. But what my thing is, you don't have to be a knob. You literally don't have to be. You can still do that and be safe. You don't have to be a knob. You don't have to, like, you know, try and run people over on the pavement. You don't have to go through red lights whenever you feel like it. You don't have to do that one. And I know the law says to do it. The one where you double bike.
Yes.
Right?
That?
Double bikers
go
are...
Go 2 strides.
How do you know what the...
Because
bike...
I see them. They fucking double bike. They do it to me on a country lane and you're driving and you go, just go for 1 second, just like that, and then I'll get past you. But they go, no, it's the rules. They told us to do it. You're like, oh, piss off. Mm. And they wear them silly little cleats in coffee shops.
What's that?
Oh, don't get me started on these cycling coffee shops. They stroll in their cleats and go, I'll have a lock of frapper to Gino.
God, I didn't know
Peter
had such a hatred of bikers.
It's never just a coffee. Just go... It's a frothuccino.
You know what I mean?
A double oat milk.
Where do you stand on, like, Hell's Angels?
They're not cyclists, are they? Motorcyclists.
I know, but they're cool, aren't they?
The issue is where we live, there's a lot of cyclists. And I get it. I do get it. And but
it's like Pete was talking about, like, TV people the other day, saying they all wear, like, people who work in TV all wear the same outfit.
Mm.
Like a Patagonia t-shirt with a cargo short. And they all live in Clapham.
Yeah.
So true, I'm sorry. I know that when you turn up, the director's going to have Vans on. You know, the grip's going to have cargo shorts with a massive belt with loads of stuff on it that he needs. He'll have loads of tattoos as well. And then the director will have kind of like, they're kind of baggy combat-y trousers with Vans.
Cords.
And if it's cold, it'd be Patagonia jacket. And which is, you know, great, but that, you just know that's going to happen.
Yeah, but if you think about it, that's where people, you know, people get the style inspiration from, you know, who they hang around
Piers.
With, where they go. Piers, not Morgan, just normal Piers. And if you're going to work with these people and go, oh, that's a nice t-shirt. And then he's got it. And then, you know, a style is
born. Echo chamber, like a bubble.
Yeah.
No, anyway, just last thing on cyclists. Also, you don't have to wear Lycra. Like, it's not...
You do, Pete.
No, because you
it's
don't.
It's like saying I'm going to play football in a pair of ballet shoes.
That's absolutely not the case at all.
Because
with Bradley Wiggins, for instance, right, he's shaving 0.3 seconds off, right? He needs Lycra on. He needs to be aerodynamic.
Mm.
Bob, from down the road, right, who goes cycling on a Saturday, Sunday, doesn't need to shave 0.3 seconds off. He could wear, like, shorts and T-shirt. You can wear a hoodie.
Yeah, but if you fell...
You can wear a rain jacket. You can wear his jeans.
Rain jacket.
It literally doesn't matter.
I totally disagree with that.
Why?
Because you can't...
If I went to you, babe, I'm going to wear Lycra. today.
You put a fucking whole outfit on to go to golf. You've got a belt. You put a little badge on and everything. You have, you're not wearing a Nike t-shirt or a hoodie to play golf.
Yeah, but the rules of golf are that you have to.
It's etiquette of the sport. Whatever sport that would be.
But lycra looks ridiculous. If I came down in full lycra. And said,
You wear my leggings?
Underneath my trousers. So you can't see them. Well, as soon as I walk out the door, you can't see.
You're not playing golf in jeans or a hoodie.
Because I'm not allowed. I wouldn't be allowed in the golf club. They don't allow you to do it. I have to wear that. But my problem is,
you love it.
It's golf. You have to wear it. Like, you do. You have to, like, they won't let you in the clubhouse without it. You've got to change your shoes at some places, you know? You've got to wear suit and tie in some places. But what I'm saying is, on a Sunday, going up Box Hill with your mates, you don't have to wear lycra.
I think you do, because you want to be as close to your own skin as possible. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough. I don't hate all cyclists, and I don't want you to
smack the bum now when you're at the lights. And there's like a biker next to you. I just want to put my hand out the window and slap the bum.
You always say that.
Shabba.
Shabba.
I don't know.
Sorry, mate.
Just this urge comes over me. The only reason I don't do it is in case they fell off the bike and got injured. But I'm just desperate for a little ass slap.
You've always said that. I'm scared that people are going to start doing shabba now. Can we just say this podcast does not condone shabbering cyclists? Yeah, so we were going to do Ask Us Anything, but obviously there's a lot of stuff that we found quite amusing there. So I'm going to do it anyway. And what it is with Ask Us Anything, it's like people have got in touch, loads of emails, and we're going to answer their questions.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so Ask Us Anything, we have to be as honest as possible.
Yeah, right. No holds barred.
Okay.
Okay. Alexis says, if you guys were a couple from a sitcom, which one would it be and why? I've got mine. I know mine.
Oh, God. What's Will and Grace?
Will and Grace. Rodney and Cassandra. Yeah. All day. Yeah. All day.
We'd be Will and Grace, but you wouldn't be
Who's
gay.
Will and Grace?
Will and Grace.
Who are they?
Oh, I think 90s sitcom's good.
Oh, I know the one. The Americans, like Friends kind of thing.
With the red hair. Will and Grace, I think, because they love each other. I know he's gay. Well, obviously you're not gay, but I don't know. We've got a Great Dane joining us with a bone in its mouth.
Wow.
Just for a bit of, for our audio listeners, thank God this is not in my house on my cream rug, because
the bone.
We've got a raw bone and a Great Dane chewing it on the white rug.
Rodney and Cassandra, I think. I like Rodney, and not so much Cassandra, maybe, but... Will and Grace.
I think you're closer to Rodney and Cassandra than Will and Grace, I'll be honest.
Brad Pitt and Angelina.
But they're not a sitcom.
Oh, sorry. that would have been fine. It's just not a sitcom. No. Is that the only reason?
What about Monica and Chandler?
Ross, she's neurotic.
He's totally unfunny.
If you guys were in a Freaky Friday scenario, what would be the first thing Abby would do as Peter and vice versa?
I think if we did a Freaky Friday exchange of each other, we'd just carry on as usual.
What's a Freaky Friday exchange of each other? What is that?
So if your brain goes into their body and vice versa.
Oh, okay.
So we just
swap. So I'd be you. Cool, I'd have loads of fun.
Oh, he's just a lower the turn.
No, I think we should just date each other and see if we actually like each other the other way around.
Wouldn't you go and hang around with like the other one's mates and see what they really think of you?
No. Oh, I don't give a fuck what his mates think of me.
That's a great idea. That's nice, isn't it? Cheers.
No, but you know what I mean? I'd do something like a bit more conniving.
No, no, I wouldn't.
Just date each other. You do that every day anyway. It's so boring.
That's so true. That is so true.
I'd make a cottage pie and we'd go and sit in the kitchen.
Yeah, we just do what we're doing. I'd just go out.
Think that'd be nice to experience each other the other way around.
Happy Valentine's Day.
It's about Freaky Friday. What's it out? You are freaky. Quite like
that. I don't mean like that. I mean, just to like date each other, but you as me and me as you.
To show ourselves the other way around.
Not like that.
Absolute freak.
Right, moving on.
Next question.
Abby, what is your perfect tea and cake flavour combination for bed? I like a ginger and lemon and a Scottish shortbread myself, Neil.
Ooh. I know. You're a Victoria sponge and a cup of tea, right?
Mm.
Would you have Vicky sponges before bed?
Every day.
Really?
She loves a Victoria sponge.
I actually just like the sponge.
Mm. I was expecting you to say rich tea.
Yeah, and rich tea. And even plain. Plain and buttery.
And normal tea, not flavoured?
No. Gotta be it. You know, Pete makes the most incredible cup of tea. Because even now...
She thinks I'm like 10.
No, it just really...
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'll time you. Go get me the remote, I'll time you. Seven, eight.
No, but I stand... at night if we go to bed, because sometimes if we get a little bit peckish.
Yeah.
Around 9 and go, should we go down and make a little piece of toast? And then I go, I'll have another cup of tea. And Pete goes, you're just doing that. And I'm like, no, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
I'll literally come with you, stand next to you and do it. But I don't like my own tea at all. It's too milky and horrible and I can't change it. It's too thick. Where you make the best tea, genuinely.
Bizarrely, like, I know what she's doing, but it still makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It's not a ploy.
I do make the best tea, don't I?
When I leave this and I know that, like, you lot will think I'm a twat, when I go home, I go, I do know, do I? Yeah.
You do, though. You do. Absolutely.
Thanks, babe. Okay.
Okay, next one's Ruby.
This one's good. Ruby says, is there a reason Abby still prefers to use her maiden name? Interesting.
This. I don't use my maiden name. People just use it for me. You know, like they write things like I am terrified of UFOs and all the other shit. People just call me Abby Clancy. I am technically Abby Crouch. However, my passport is still Clancy. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, I'm joking. My passport is still Clancy because the guy who renewed my passport for me wrote Clancy instead of Crouch, but I am Abby Crouch. So everything proper is Crouch.
So you're an official Crouch.
I'm an official Crouch.
Mm.
Although
I do. Unlike this pod, you do say, hi, I'm Abby Clancy, don't
and
you?
I don't know. Well, that's my name, isn't it, really?
No, it's just never been changed, has it, properly?
You know, if I sign stuff for the school, it's Abby Crouch, Mrs. Crouch.
Yeah, I've heard you introduce yourself as Mrs. Crouch.
Yeah, formal things seem to be Mrs. Crouch, don't they?
Formal is Crouch, fun is Clancy. Yeah. I prefer the word Clancy to Crouch, though. I always say this, don't I? It's a nicer word.
Mm.
Anything with an E on the end is nicer. It's less blunt.
Mm. Mm. But that's like everything in life, isn't it?
I
like,
love the cake.
Everything to do with you is good. And anything to do with me is shite.
Stand up.
That's where we are in life. Any bad habits the kids have, got it from you. Okay. What is the most embarrassing thing you've ever caught the other person doing, apart from putting the bins out in their Rosie Huntington-Whiteley dressing gown?
That's not embarrassing. I like that. I dig that.
Probably today.
Which is
what? When I was talking about the content creation.
Yeah.
I genuinely can hand on heart say Pete does not give me the ick in every circumstance. Like, you know, candy shop at his full lung capacity. Knowing every word was a bit, you know, suspect. But nothing that you do embarrasses me. Like, I just laugh and then we laugh together.
Mm.
Do you guys have any tattoos? If not, would you ever consider getting one and what would you get?
I don't have any tattoos.
No. Peter?
No. It's one of those where it became... Obviously, every single footballer seems to have a tattoo. And it kind of became my thing to kind of not have one.
Mm.
To know, like, when you look around the dressing room, kind of, I thought tattoos kind of, it was like you kind of stand out a little bit, you know what I mean? And I stood out by not having one.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm happy with that.
No, I don't think it's that.
Well, that's what I was doing. That's my reason.
But I think if you don't get one when you're a teen, then you don't.
Yeah.
And then you might get one for a midlife crisis kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
We've often talked about it, but then I always think, you know, everyone gets like tattoos of each other's names and that always like split up or whatever.
Mm.
I don't know.
We talked about like having one there or something, haven't we? One each. But I just think I'd look like a twat.
Yeah, you would.
100%.
Have you got a tattoo?
No, I haven't. No. I've thought about it as well, but I don't know what I'd get.
My brother's got a prawn with wings. Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you know what? It suits some people. You know what I mean? Like, some people look great, but I just think...
God, some people...
I don't think I'm that person.
Mm. You're more elegant Italian Riviera chic.
Italian Riviera chic, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Murphy Coast.
My vibe. I'm Murphy Coast.
I'd quite like a tattoo, but I don't like my skin. So I think if you've got nice skin, you can have a tattoo, but I've got like freckles and stuff, so I don't know how that'd go with a tattoo.
Mm.
Well, cover them up.
I like a tattoo on clear skin or like tan skin.
Mm.
Who are the kids most like personality-wise? Abby or the big dog, you said?
Me, I'd say.
Thought you might say that. If I had to guess, I'd say you'd say that, yeah.
Well, what would you say? Would you say you?
I think Liberty's a lot like you.
Exactly. The most fun child we've got.
Exactly. Our favourite.
What do you mean our favourite child? It's like me. Sophia's like you, moody.
How am I moody in any way? I think Johnny might be probably a bit like me.
Johnny is like you. And sensitive.
Just nice in general. And Jack's probably a bit of a mixture of both of us.
I'd agree with that assessment, I'd say.
Mm. Sophia's one of a kind.
Yeah, she's a lone wolf.
She's a lone wolf.
Yeah, I think Sophia's probably a bit of both as well. So Jack, Sophia, a bit of both.
Yeah.
Lib you, Johnny me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm. Have either of you felt the other is not spending enough time together when you were both at the height of your careers? That's basically saying that we're in fucking decline now.
Yeah, it's true though.
When I was away with football, things like that.
When we first got together, Pete was obviously, you know, playing for England and playing for Liverpool. And that did mean a lot of time of away England camps, training camps, pre-season. And yeah, there were times where, you know, I think we wanted to be together more. But couldn't. But then, you know, we kind of don't know any different, do we?
You were very kind of understanding with that. It was like, you know, it's a short career. We're going to be together forever.
Yeah.
And that was like, when I was playing for Liverpool in England, it was like it's Champions League on a Tuesday. You know, I might be away on a Friday for the game Saturday. And then you might have another game. And then you might go away for England for 10 days. Like, there's a lot of travelling, isn't there?
But the flip side of that is, you know, most people who are working 9-to-5 jobs or later, you know, Pete would be home in the middle of the day and we'd spend the majority of the day and true. Night together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while there was a lot of time away, you know, we did compensate for that, like on a daily basis where you come home from training and, you know, we'd spend a lot of quality time. Yeah. And, you know, at that time I was in Liverpool, so I was with my family and my mum, and like when Pete was away, I'd go and stay back at home. So that kind of softened the blow a bit.
But I think it's okay. Like, obviously, not if you go away for...
You don't think
like,
it's okay?
If you go away for months at a time. But like I say, as long as you come home in the evening, I mean, I think it's... People have... If you work and you come together and then hopefully at weekends or you have some time together. If you're both stranded on a desert island, what would be the first thing you would argue about?
I'd love to be stranded on a desert island.
I would for a while.
With each other? Or alone.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think that'd be fine.
That'd be fine. I think this is like a bit of a imbalance of our love.
What?
Don't you? No. I'm getting that vibe.
What?
It seems like I love you more than you love me right now.
I think that's true as well. No, I think I said like you wouldn't want to be stuck on a desert island, would you? Let's be honest. Like, yeah, for a bit. Then what?
We could make huts. We could build a village.
Oh, yeah, because you're so handy. Yeah. You know, we've got a donkey sanctuary.
All, yeah. All you need is a scart lead.
Yeah.
Do anything. What would we argue about, though, if we're on desert island?
I think just, you know, that general together too long, get on your tits kind of vibe.
Like him mouth breathing or you being brash.
I think Ab tidying up the fucking island would do me an in. Well, should we just put that palm tree there?
Well, Pete's like, so
that coconut
light
goes
on
over there. Martin, do you think that coconut goes with that, you know, sea? Yeah.
Great shout. Absolute belter shout.
Just go and play golf, will you?
Okay, let's.
Oh, come on, babe. We can do a week on this. Oh, no, you can't be upset about that.
Well, I quite enjoyed that until I realised that you don't love me at the end.
I absolutely adore you. You know that.
I think we should do more of them.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
Do you know, it's a nice little deflection from our own life and us just telling our story, what people actually want to know about us.
Yeah, and we get loads of these sent through.
That's nice because, like you say, we come up with a plan and we talk about kind of what's going on. But you don't, you know, there might be certain things that we leave out that people can ask us.
Mm.
So it works.
Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
It's a complete twat, aren't you?
Reworded what I just said in a shit way. God's sake.
That was for our listeners that aren't scouts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Right, let's go. Agony Abs. Hi, both. Why, oh why, do people think it is perfectly acceptable to bring the most unsociable lunches known to man into the communal office?
Like fish?
Oh, yeah. No one wants to smell your tuna and olive cheesy bake that's been sitting in the fridge freezer for God knows how long to be nuked within an inch of its life, then stink out the office for the rest of the afternoon. If I'd have wanted to be surrounded by the smell of rotten fish, I'd have stayed with my ex-wife. Wow.
Don't be bitter now.
A one-off occasion I could possibly forgive, but when it's happening week in, week out and making me feel nauseous for the rest of the afternoon, I think I need to take a stand. Whatever happened to the humble Heinz tomato soup and cheese nam sandwich chaser? Or go wild and throw a bit of avocado on a chicken panini?
Avocado.
I really don't care, just as long as I'm not subjected to smelling it. Maybe if I get an Abby-esque brutal response to this agony ab, I could strategically replay it in the office on full volume in hope they will listen to your pearls of wisdom. The possibilities are endless. Regards, the Earl of Sandwich.
Earl of Sandwich. Ugh. I don't mind the smell of food when it smells good.
Mm. Do you remember when I used to come home from the canteen and I'd had fish and it was on my clothes?
It was just the canteen smell. When Pete used to play football, he used to come home and I had to strip him at the door because I couldn't let him in the house.
The only reason.
He's very tasty. I had to strip him at the door because his clothes stunk and I was pregnant. This smells used to be the one thing that would send me over the edge.
Like a bloodhound.
Pete used to put deodorant on every morning. I'd be chucking my guts off. He'd go downstairs and make this pesto pasta or whatever. I'd be chucking my guts up. So I do get it. I do think people do not take a lot of consideration to the work colleagues when they are packing their lunch in the morning. So do it, guys.
Yeah, that's true. Could you do a brutal response? I know that wasn't your natural response. Could you do a brutal one so he can play this out to help him in the office?
I love food, so I haven't got a massive issue with this.
All right, well, that's fine.
What would your brutal response be?
Listen up, colleagues. I'm fucking tired of your tuna fucking cheesy bake around the office. I stink of it. You stink of it. pack it in.
Yeah.
Use that.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. Okay. Dear Pete and Abby, please may I have some advice. Is the following a sackable offence? My wife recently purchased a new dining room table for our first proper home together. It's a thing of beauty. The table, not so much the wife right now. Oof. You can piss off. The sturdy, rustic, stained oak table should be proudly in the kitchen. Sadly, it's not. Someone who should remain nameless forgot to check a few minor details, and the fine piece of workmanship is stuck in our garage. There is no way through the door. Any door, our only hope is Phil next door. Can you provide me a route through his garden? Can he rescue our dinner times? Can he rescue our marriage for that matter? 3 months into its innings, the wedlock hangs in the balance, surely. Is this measurement madness worthy of a second chance? Is my wife a creative genius or a furniture fraud? Have either of you produced a similar misdemeanor? Regards, Ben. So what's he saying? He's going to dump his wife or not?
So I think it's, from what I understand by it, it was a bit weirdly written, but from what I understand is she's bought a table, but she hasn't measured the doors or whatever. So they can't get it through the house. It's stuck in the garage, I think.
I did that the other day.
Did you?
I ordered these bowls from this plate shop that I love online. But I ordered what I thought was a big salad bowl, and it was like a little tiny dish that you put salt in.
Like a ramekin?
Yeah. It was a little tiny ramekin, and I was like, oh, that'd be gorgeous. Big load of pasta in, you know, big salad, middle of the table. It's that big.
That's got a bit of oil and balsamic vinegar in it.
Exactly. But no, I don't think that's a sackable offence.
No.
You know, I've done the same thing. I got a sofa in Portsmouth when I was on my own before I met you. I had a flat in Portsmouth, but I lived on a marina and I bought a couch.
We all know.
I'd know what?
We all know you lived on a marina when you were single. So what?
Time my absolute life, honestly. Yeah. Fucking hell, what I'd give back to go back to those days. But anyway, I got this couch and I couldn't obviously get through the door. So Kev the kit man, retired boxer, absolute unit, threw it on his back and like went up a ladder.
Fuck,
and put it through the double doors.
What a G.
What a G.
He'd have a field day with these days, wouldn't he?
I think if he's contemplating divorcing his wife over getting table measurement wrong, he should be in the garage, not the bloody table. Moving on.
Agreed. That's them.
Fair enough. God,
Pete,
girl power.
You never shout at me if I make a mistake like that.
I wouldn't shout at you, that's true.
You know, if I like...
You'd shout at me, though.
Because you don't want to fucking kill you.
Yeah. No,
because
don't make mistakes.
Yeah. You'd shout at me, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
If I imagine I just went rogue, right, and went, I'm going to go couch shopping, bought a couch and got it wrong. Number one, you'd be like, why the fuck are you buying your own couches? Number two, of course you got it wrong because you can't do it. Number three, never do that again.
True. Sorry. Yeah. True.
Agreed.
It's just our roles, isn't it?
What, couch shopping?
No, just stick to your own lane.
I'm happy not buying couches. Totally fine with it.
Well, that's not entirely true. Because you once threatened if you're going to leave, if I got another animal, and you could buy your own sofa and it'd be amazing. And I was like, it wouldn't. It'd be horrible.
Did you hear that argument?
I remember we did that one.
We had a big argument, yeah. And I said, I'm going out and buy my own couch. Your couch would be shit. Slam the door, that was it. Oh, well, now we've got a lovely couch, Rowan.
We have. Well, I enjoyed that pod.
Yeah.
I feel like you were a little bit giddy today.
I was. I got the giggles halfway through. There was a few things that really tickled me and I struggled to get out of that kind of mindset.
And you're hungry as well, I can tell.
I am hungry, but like I say, it's good to be jovial rather than a mizzo.
You're not yourself when you haven't had your Snickers.
Very good.
I actually really enjoyed the Ask Me Anything as well.
Oh, I loved it. Honestly, listen, if you want to send in some more, it's thetherapycrouch@gmail.com.
Shabba.
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 Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.